Today on More to Life, Knives Out. Tired of dealing with irritable, defensive, argumentative, hostile people? We'll help you tame the tension. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Knives Out. Well, that came out weird. Sorry, let me try that again. Thank heavens this isn't live radio, otherwise I'd be in trouble now. It's Knives Out is the title of the show. If you're tired of dealing with irritable, defensive, argumentative, hostile, rude, disrespectful, add your word here, people, we want to help you tame the tension. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, the title is a tilt toward a movie about a family that really, really, really doesn't get along, irritates one another, snipes behind each other's backs, and just generally isn't very honest with each other. And unfortunately, because we're all fallen people, we all, no matter how much we wish to be perfect and constantly walk in a state of grace, we don't. But some people sort of make it a practice to not. And they go out of their way, or at least they just seem to naturally slide into being really irritable, argumentative. They push back. You want to spend time with them, and they make it difficult. You come away feeling drained. You come away feeling angry yourself. You come away feeling like there's an injustice in the relationship, that they've made your life a little bit harder in that time that you've been together. Or if you're with that person all the time, you're constantly walking on eggshells and feeling like you don't know when that person is going to be their worst self again. And that can really be difficult. It is not the way we're supposed to be living with each other in communion with one another. There are things that we can do to activate God's grace in a relationship and begin to change and turn that tide into something better, healthier, and yeah, even a little holier. So if there's somebody popping into your mind today who's really irritable, gets defensive at anything people say, creates arguments around anything they can, we're here to help you know how to deal with it better and maybe even change the situation a bit. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Tell us, who is the most difficult person in your life right now? And what makes it hardest for you to respond to them effectively instead of in frustration, annoyance, or anger? Where do you find it hardest to set loving but firm boundaries with someone who keeps crossing the line? How do you deal with that spouse or younger or adult child or parent or coworker who seems stuck in anger, resentment, or hostility? Or for that matter, if God could help you see one challenging relationship through His eyes, which relationship would you want His help with, and why? Let's talk it out together today on our show titled Knives Out at 877-573-7825. Once again, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. If you're wondering, well, you know, how could some theology possibly help me deal with irritable, defensive, argumentative, rude, disrespectful people? Well, you've come to the right place, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked kind of a huge question, really. Basically, he said, look, if we take a look at everything God's given us, from creation to scripture to salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that our goal as Christians isn't just to tolerate each other, but to learn how to see one another the way God sees us.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the theology of the body calls this the peace of the interior gaze, right? Which is a big phrase, but here's what it means. Basically, before the fall, Adam and Eve, fully immersed in God's grace, saw each other as persons, not as objects to be used or annoyances to be avoided or obstacles to be overcome. And because they saw each other that way, they were naturally able to treat each other with reverence, and everything they said and did helped each other grow and flourish.
Sin then damaged that vision. So now, especially when we're hurt or frustrated, it's easy to reduce people to their worst behaviors. But with God's grace, we can reclaim that superpower, the ability to look past each other's sins and brokenness and speak and act in ways that bring out the best in each person.
And you know, St. John Paul didn't just teach this in the theology of the body. He actually lived it in every part of his life, whether we're facing the Nazis or challenging communist leaders or even responding to the man who tried to kill him. He never denied the truth or ignored injustice, but he always addressed people with a love that called them to conversion.
That's such an important model for our everyday lives. Seeing someone as a beloved son or daughter of God does not mean excusing bad behavior or staying silent in the face of harm.
Oh, right. It means asking for the grace to see the real person behind that hurtful mask they're wearing, inviting them through our words and our actions to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people God is calling them to be.
And when necessary, it also means setting boundaries to make it harder for them to keep acting in those hurtful ways.
So the more we learn to do that, the more we actually become like Christ. And we invite even the most difficult people in our lives to do the same. So that's the mission, should you choose to accept it. But it's not easy to do, right? It's one thing to say all this stuff. It's another thing to actually make it work when you're dealing with that antagonistic, obnoxious, frustrating person in your life. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. When we talk about having to deal with that, you know, irritable, defensive, argumentative, difficult person, who pops into your head? Well, let's talk about how to respond to that person in a way that could transform that dynamic and help you actually maybe even draw closer to each other, or at the very least, stop them from being so difficult to deal with. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Who is that most difficult person in your life right now? And what makes it hard for you to deal with them? Where do you find it most difficult to set loving boundaries with somebody who keeps crossing the line? How do you deal with that spouse or younger or adult child, parent, coworker, extended family member who seems stuck in anger, resentment, or hostility? Or if God could help you see one challenging relationship through his eyes, which relationship would you want his help with? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those people we all have in our lives that are just difficult to be around. Maybe we love them, maybe we like the idea of being around them, but the reality is that they're difficult, they're obnoxious and hostile and antagonistic, and it's hard to know how to respond to them in ways that enable us to be our best selves and challenge them to be their best as well. And so, Lord, we bring those relationships to you right now, and we ask you to help us to see them as you see them, to be able to see the real people behind the hurtful masks, and to respond to those offenses, not in ways that enable those offenses or excuse those offenses, but in ways that both insulate us from the hurt and challenge them to be the people that you are calling them to be. Help us to build your kingdom by bringing your grace into each of our relationships so that we might all work for each other's good in big and small ways. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Knives Out, as we talk about dealing with those irritable, defensive, argumentative, disrespectful, and difficult people in your life. We want to help you tame the tension. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our first caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Listener in Pennsylvania, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today? Hello, listener in Pennsylvania, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how can we help you out today?
I just need a lot of assistance with some prayer. I have a very abusive ex who I share two children with. He will not leave me alone. He's kind of brainwashed the children to act just like him. I've lost everything, my business. I'm ready to lose my job.
How old are your kids?
23 and 15.
Okay, so one is still a minor child. And does that child live with you or with him?
They both live with me. But it's just gotten to the point where they're very spoiled by him. In the way of like many expensive things, and everything is yeses, and I'm just at the point where I'm only, you know, reared as the disciplinarian, the structure, the work, and they resent me for it, and he's rewarding, you know, anything that he gives them, he rewards. Like, you have to earn those things. And it's just escalated to the point where they're wildly disrespectful to me, cursing, will not listen, and I'm just beside myself. I was actually arrested on the first of this month because it's just false allegations. And he's trying to say that I assaulted my daughter, which is not what happened. She charged at me.
You said that he was very abusive. Was this physical abuse?
Mostly, it has been a little bit, but mostly like, you know, emotional with the threats, and just will not let up with letting me live my life. Doesn't want me to try to seek out a partner in life. I've had to get a PFA on him before. He just throws this garbage out in front of my home, spits on my car. He sends this PFA.
So you said you've gotten restraining orders before, and that's not deterred him at all.
No. Since then, they expired or were dropped. But he moved on my block. He lives three doors down from me.
And what kind of help are you getting for this? Because this is not something that you should have to deal with on your own. So what sort of help are you receiving so far?
Right now, I have to go to court now because I got assault charges put on me. I asked my daughter. He won't follow the court order with the younger one. I had to go in a room and say, "Did you have your..."
No, I understand he's horrible. I get that, and I'm so sorry that you're having to deal with that. But what kind of help are you getting to build your relationship with your kids and help you get your feet underneath you so that you know how to respond to him effectively and the challenges that you're facing?
Yes, and that's what it is. I'm in a well of always reacting and angry and sad and depressed and everything. I did call our local Women's Resource Center, and they're getting me help with, representation. And also, I have to get into therapy because...
Yes. Not just for you. I would suggest family counseling.
Yeah.
Because you and the kids really need to be working on that. And so... Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that you're in reaction mode. And of course, right? I mean, it's almost impossible to not be whenever you're faced with this constant abuse and constant these constant attacks from him. But in terms of moving forward, and I'm glad that you're going to be reaching out for some counseling, because that's absolutely critical, right? And what you want to be focusing on there is how do you learn to deal more effectively with your kids' disrespect, with your kids' anger? How do you? Yes, you can be a disciplinarian. You can have order and structure in your house, but you can do it in a way that actually creates greater closeness between you and the kids, as a, even in the situation, right? Even in the where because you know he's great at just throwing a lot of gifts out there and being fun, right? But even they could see he's not a good person. Like if they might not admit it to you, but they can see what he does. They can see how he behaves. And the problem is they're not experiencing your home as a peaceful place. He's wrecking a lot of that peace, but you don't know how to create the structure and the connection that would lead to peace in your relationship with them. And that's because you're living in reaction, but you actually have more power over that than you've given yourself credit for in the past. And good counseling, especially family counseling, could really help you understand what you could do to respond rather than react, and what could happen here to build the relationship with the kids. Because right now they're in a position where they've seen, and this often happens in abusive situations, right? And this is really sad, but it's a reality, and if you understand the dynamic, then you can work with it. They've seen that there are only two ways to be. I can either be abusive or I can be a victim. And I would rather not be a victim. They haven't seen a way to be strong that's also loving. And because of that, they feel forced to choose to be like their father. And the more you're able to show that loving strength that is able to create an orderly home without reducing yourself to hysterics or screaming or getting engaged in these kinds of interactions with your kids that you know you're dealing with now, the more you're able to demonstrate that loving strength and show a real alternative to this abuser-victim dynamic that the kids have grown up with, the more they'll be able to see that mom can lead us out of this. But unless they can see that, they're going to continue to be more and more like dad. The good news is you have control over that process, because that just involves you and your relationship with your kids. And he's going to try to disrupt that as much as possible, and that's not easy to deal with. I wish I could take that away. But the good news is, if you can learn to respond rather than react, if you can learn to demonstrate this loving strength as an alternative to the abusive strength that your ex-husband portrays, that's what's going to show your kids a healthy way out of this. The other good news is that they live with you, which means that they you have the opportunity every day to work on this relationship with them. It's not like you're having to only see them every other week or on the weekends. So there's a lot of opportunity here. It's time to get that help. So please do connect with some good family counselor in the area, not just somebody who sees family, but somebody who's actually been trained in family work, who will work with you all together to learn how to create a more orderly and peaceful home with you and your kids. Thank you for the call. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls, and we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com and directs our program in performance excellence. And she works with Catholic athletes, performers, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. She's going to be sharing some insights on how to deal with those difficult people gracefully. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Knives Out. As we talk about dealing with those difficult, obnoxious, irritating, frustrating people in your life, how do we manage them gracefully? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs our faith-based performance coaching program, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about how we can stay calm in the presence of those people who are so frustrating and difficult to deal with.
Well, when someone is kind of coming at us in a way that's irritated or defensive, or just they're ready to argue, a lot of times the hardest part isn't the conversation. It's what's happening inside of us, right? Our chest tightens up, our mind starts to speed up, and we kind of start questioning ourselves or bracing ourselves or feeling that urge to defend ourselves or shut down. But I think a mindset shift that can sort of change everything for us is that their irritability is information, not an evaluation or reflection of you. So when someone is argumentative, they're usually operating from their own stress, their own fear, or their own sense of being threatened. Their nervous system is loud at that point. But that doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It means they're dysregulated. So in order for us to stay confident and grounded, there are four simple anchors that I often encourage people to focus on. So first, we need to anchor in our body, right? Before you respond, just drop your shoulders, unclench your jaw, slow your breath down, because our regulated body is what allows us to keep our confidence intact, even if that conversation stays a little bit tense. Second, we need to separate our worth from the moment. You don't need to convince or defend or prove yourself to stay valid. You need to remind yourself, I can be calm and clear even if they're not. Third, respond from intention, not reaction. So short, neutral, respectful, calm responses. Because confidence isn't loud, it's steady. And sometimes that most powerful response that we can have is clarity without over-explanation. And fourth, but certainly not least, visualize Jesus standing right there with you. You're not alone. You're not powerless. God is with you. So just visualize him there. This can really help our nervous system feel safer and more empowered. Ask him to guide your words and help you remember your worth in him. So remember, you don't lose confidence because someone is upset. You lose confidence when you abandon yourself trying to manage their emotions. Staying grounded isn't about winning the moment. It's about leaving the interaction still connected with yourself. Because calm is a skill and confidence is our anchor. And you're allowed to keep both no matter how someone else is showing up in a conversation.
So, you know, I think this is so important because we get caught up in how can I get them to stop or how can I convince them that they're wrong? How can I help them, you know, change? How can I help them feel better? And all of that ends up forcing us to fall into their trap. basically. You know, if we're able to do what you're talking about, we're not really focusing on what they're saying and what they're doing. We're focusing on what do I need to do to remain calm in the face of this situation and, even more importantly, guide the conversation to go the way I want it to. So I'm kind of in that posture. I'm discounting a lot of the things that they're saying, and if they're not being said respectfully, and I just keep saying things like, you know, I'm really sorry you feel that way, but I can't really have this conversation with you this way. I'd be happy to talk about this with you this way. Can we do that, or do we need to take a break? Right. So I'm not trying to convince you you're wrong, or tell you to stop, or make you knock it off. I'm just setting some boundaries that allow us to have a healthier conversation if you're up to it. And if not, well, then I'm going to go.
Well, one of the things that it really reminds me of, because a lot of people may be saying, oh, that's so hard and who can ever. But on the one hand, we're sort of trained as children to become reactive. You know, if somebody yells at us or a bully attacks us on the playground, we react. And then we think it has to stick with us. But also from the time we're children, we go through fire drills at school where we learn to remain calm and take the steps to get out of the situation. And this is very much the adult version of that. If we think about we're going to be clear, we're going to be calm, and kind of practice that when we're alone, thinking of the scenarios and thinking of the kind of response you've illustrated to us today, we can re-regulate our whole nervous system to be able to handle these situations with so much more grace. Rachel, thank you, Rachel Isaac.
Rachel Isaac, thank you so much for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about her good work, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com and check out our faith-based performance coaching program that helps you achieve success under pressure. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll talk more about these obnoxious people on the...
How does one describe Christ's relationship to his church? The Catholic Catechism says Christ is one with his church. He is the head, we are the members. Head and members together make up the whole body of Christ. Head and members form, as it were, one and the same mystical person. St. Joan of Arc put it very simply to her judges. She said, "About Jesus Christ and the church, I simply know they're just one thing. We shouldn't complicate the matter." The Catechism also refers to the imagery of the bridegroom, the theme of Christ as the bridegroom of the church, as two in one relationship. Just as in marriage, two become one flesh, the church is portrayed as the spotless bride of the spotless Lamb. Christ has joined the church with himself in an everlasting covenant. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of 1 hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me, and he says, "Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday, and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture." He goes, "I want more." I said, "Do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament?" He said, "Outside of Mass, no." I said, "I think that's the more." See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled Knives Out. We talk about dealing with those difficult, obnoxious, irritable, argumentative people in our lives, whoever they are. I mean, it could be your spouse, a younger or adult child, could be a parent, coworker, friend, frenemy. The fact is, our lives are filled with people that we wish we could just avoid. And sometimes, unfortunately, those people can be the people who are closest to us, like I said, like a parent or a spouse. But the good news is, there are ways to manage those difficult people that, at the very least, can insulate us from their hurtful actions and words, and at best, through God's grace, can transform the relationship. Let us help you deal with those situations gracefully at 877-573-7825. Again, the number, 877-573-7825.
Well, before we take our next question, we want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, Spirit Catholic Radio, serving Nebraska and Wisconsin with 20 stations, is celebrating 27 years with us this week.
Fantastic. Congratulations to Eric Svoboda and his great team at Spirit Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And I just want to send out thanks to Eric and his team, and honestly, all the folks at Spirit Catholic Radio. They were among one of the first people that were ever carrying our show back in the day. So thank you for sticking with us all this time, too.
Very great.
And listeners, wherever you are tuning into EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so that we can do what we like to do best, which is to take care of you and foster your more joyful and effective faith and help you live a more abundant life.
Amen.
Again, thanks to Eric Svoboda and his team at Spirit Catholic Radio and everybody who makes Catholic Radio possible, especially you, the listener. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're asking you, who are those obnoxious, difficult, irritating, antagonistic people that you have to put up with in your life? Who is that most difficult person in your life right now? And what makes it hardest for you to respond to them effectively instead of out of frustration, annoyance, or anger, or just reacting to them? Where do you find it hardest to set loving but firm boundaries with somebody who keeps crossing the line? How do you deal with that spouse, that younger or adult child, or parent or coworker who seems stuck in anger, resentment, or hostility? 877-573-7825.
And maybe, just maybe, as you're hearing Greg ask these questions, you're thinking, people are telling me it's me. Maybe you're feeling very wound up, angry, argumentative these days, and it's putting a rift between you and somebody else, but you just don't know what to do about it because your feelings are your feelings. We can help you with that today as well. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Well, Brenda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio, says she loves her family very much, and she wants to be able to get together with them often. They live within 45 minutes of each other, all of them. She said, but my sister-in-law always gets belligerent and critical after a few drinks. And she always ends up hurting someone's feelings or starting some kind of argument. It's awful, but we don't know what to do to make it stop. I'm frustrated, and it spoils family gatherings. I've suggested to my husband that he might want to suggest to his parents, who usually host our events, that they don't serve any alcohol at family get-togethers anymore. But he said they'd never go for it. It's not worth talking to them about. Is there anything that I can do as the sister-in-law? It's obnoxious. I don't like my children being around it. And it just seems to spoil everything. And that's Brenda, who's listening in Michigan.
Brenda, thank you so much for the question. So there's nothing you can do to change your sister-in-law or necessarily to change the rest of the family. But this is a conversation that you and your husband need to have to decide how you guys want to respond to this for the sake of your own peace of mind and for the sake of your kids You know, you're saying that you're concerned about her behavior around your kids and all of that. I don't know what that means exactly, but, you know, it's enough that you have those concerns. And I think, you know, we often feel like we have to keep doing what we always did because that's just the way our family is. But as Christians, we need to remember that our call, as we were sharing in the opening reflection here, is to always work for the good of everybody. And sometimes that means breaking something that ain't broke because it's healed in the wrong way. You know, your husband's family, clearly, if they're okay with her behaving like this and not willing to choose relationship over alcohol, there's something wrong there in that dynamic, right? And it's okay for you and your husband to stand sort of as prophetic witnesses to say, look, guys, I really am concerned about, you know, her behavior. And I'm concerned about how it's affecting us. It's affecting our kids. So I would really love to be able to be there. But if you guys are going to serve alcohol and she can't handle herself around alcohol, we can't be there. And that would really make me sad to not be able to attend the family gatherings or whatever. But that's kind of where we're at. And the point of that is twofold. One, you're insulating yourselves from the offensive behavior. But two, you're being prophetic and saying, this isn't okay, right? It's not just that her behavior isn't okay. Our enabling of that behavior isn't okay. And by doing that, you're sending an important message that says, look, I love you guys, but loving somebody means working for each other's good. And this isn't working for our good. It's not working for me. It's not working for our kids. It's not working for her. And we can't be in the position where we, you know, keep putting her in places where she can't handle the temptation. So, I mean, and I understand, you might even say, you know, I understand that, you know, she can go drink on her own and do whatever she does on her own time. But when she comes to the family gatherings, that should be a place where we're focusing on being together and enjoying each other's company. And this is getting in the way of that. So you guys can either address that by not having alcohol at the parties, or we can't be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the overarching way to handle this. And hopefully the family would respond well to it. The fact that your husband's saying, nope, this is who they are, means that he's been part of this process for a really long time and doesn't really have the energy or desire to start untying those knots. So you could start with a few smaller changes and see how they go. For example, you can start hosting at your house and have it be a dry event. And if people don't like it, then don't invite, you know, them back to your house. Try it once, see how it goes, and see if it makes any difference at all. And if they maybe see that just drinking soft drinks still allows you all to still enjoy each other's company, maybe they'll get some enlightenment. If you keep going to mom and dad's house, I would suggest, since you're all just 45 minutes away, that you make a bailout plan. You know, you stay long enough, and when she starts to get to her second, third drink, and you know this is when she's going to start acting weird, you just say, hey, we've got so much to do tomorrow, we really have to head out early. And you leave earlier, but you've still been there. Eventually, your parents are going to, or his parents are going to start going, why are you leaving early all the time? And that opens the door again to the conversation. But you want to start moving things in the direction of protecting yourself and your family, your children, from the situation and seeing how you can affect change. And maybe as your husband begins to see that, he'll get a little bit more empowered to try the overarching idea of just saying, hey, you know, if there's alcohol, we just really can't come.
All right, Brenda, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. There's also our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which really talks more about how to set these kinds of boundaries that do insulate us from the hurtful behavior of other people, while still leaving the door open for reconciliation. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're tired of dealing with certain irritable, defensive, argumentative, difficult people in your life, we want to help you tame the tension and find solutions. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7.
Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart.
And, you know, here, this is the passage where Samuel is choosing David to be the king as opposed to all of his big, strong, burly brothers. but the verse really applies to everything we're talking about here today, which is that, you know, when we're being attacked by somebody, when somebody's being hostile with us or being difficult to be around, it's easy to just see the appearance of their outward behavior. But God is really asking us to see the heart, to see what they're called to be, and to challenge them lovingly to be that instead of whatever they are doing, so that we can recognize that this is a child of God who's hurting, who, you know, we can't excuse their behavior, but we can love them. And by loving them, we lovingly challenge them to be better.
Because when we see the heart, then we have a sense of mercy. But that doesn't mean we just let them continue. You know, we are all called to help each other not fall into sin or near occasions of sin. And this kind of belligerent, difficult, argumentative behavior often is that. So once we tap into, okay, this person's hurting, that doesn't mean we excuse it. It means that we lovingly work for their good so that they can have better skills, be a better person, and you can have a better relationship.
With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Who are those difficult people in your life? And what makes it hard to deal with them gracefully? Let's talk it out together when we come back after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Feeling drained, anxious, or stuck in your relationships? You're not alone. I'm Lisa Popcheck from CatholicCounselors.com. Our team of Catholic pastoral counselors can help you find grace-filled, effective solutions for emotional struggles, stress, and relationship challenges. Discover how your faith can bring healing and peace to your heart and home. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today. Let us help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Knives Out, as we talk about dealing with those irritable, obnoxious, defensive, or difficult people in your life. How can we manage those people and situations gracefully? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Becca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Becca, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to talk to you about kind of an in-law situation that we're having. My husband has a sister and his parents. His sister is married with three kids. They're older than my kids. And their entire family culture is very, authoritarian. They're constantly calling each other, like, just horrible names, like, including their kids. They're constantly bullying each other. They, you know, very opinionated, very, you know, wanting things to be their way, et cetera. And we don't parent that way. It's always been a point of conflict. But the big, it's kind of accelerated since this summer. We got an autism diagnosis for my 3.5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He's very high functioning, but he has behavioral issues. And so obviously, there's been a substantial increase in both my, you know, sister and brother-in-law, or sister-in-law and brother-in-law, and then my parent-in-law's, you know, wanting to have input on how we parent. Obviously, we're working with medical professionals and therapists and mm-hmm. everything, and it's conflicting, of course. But since we've had an issue, like a very particular event that happened over Thanksgiving, where my brother-in-law got extremely aggressive with my 3.5-year-old and my 18-month-old. He was drunk, and then there was, just incredibly aggressive towards them. They were sleeping. He went and, like, woke them up in order to be aggressive.
Goodness gracious.
It was just, it's a safety issue. We have decided that we just can't be really around this part of the family, like my sister-in-law and her family. But what we're dealing with now is my parent-in-laws. They want us, they obviously are not, they are, my sister-in-law and her family are kind of, they're the favorite, and so they can do no wrong in my parent-in-law's eyes, and mm-hmm. So they are siding with her. They think that, you know, they basically, mm-hmm. they have all taken the position that my 3.5-year-old caused the outburst, and it's his fault that my brother-in-law behaved this way, and so we need to do something about that, and we need to repair and everything like that, and we're standing firm, we're very confident in all of this, but we're trying now to figure out how to continue in relationship with my in-laws, my parent-in-laws. We're also just on the daily, just very dysregulated by the whole event. Like, we haven't really, we're very shaken by it. So we just to figure out how
so
to...
So what would you need, what would you need from your parents-in-law, if anything, to be able to feel safe around them in some at least limited way? You know, when I say limited way, I don't mean like feel limitedly safe. I mean be around them in a limited way that allows you to feel safe. What would you need from them in order to be able to say that?
I think at the bare minimum, we just don't want them to bring up the situation anymore. Mm-hmm. But also just to, I mean, in general, feel supported. Like, hey, not even, honestly, I think it's maybe too much to ask to feel supportive, but like, you know, that at least respected that, hey, you are dealing with an autistic child and we have no idea what the situation is and we are deferring to you, or at least we're not trying to give input on a situation that we have no understanding of, kind of.
Okay. So that's the boundary that you want to set. I think that's a perfectly reasonable boundary, and to say to them, look, guys, I understand that you've got your opinions about this and I respect that, but we're working with professionals on this, we're working with the experts on this, and you guys don't have any experience here. So we need you to either support us or at least not bring it up. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to stop talking about it. And if you can't do that, then we're going to have to leave. You know, and so the point is, you're not cutting them off. Right, a boundary never cuts anybody off. A boundary gives them a healthy door to walk through. Then they might choose to not walk through that door. You know, and to continue the metaphor here, if and I use this all the time.
I have a different metaphor. If I can jump in with this,
go for it.
So I don't know how it's a very easy thing to look up if you haven't seen it before. But picture a sheepdog. All right, a little tiny sheepdog. There's a whole flock of sheep. Huge amount of sheep, and this dog could be easily overwhelmed. But what the dog does is just guide the sheep so they move first into a smaller space, then into a smaller space, then into the place that they're supposed to be for the night. And it's very much the same way. You don't cut off the sheep. You don't harm the sheep in any way. You guide the sheep step by step to better behavior, where they would be safe to be in your life. And so it's very much that situation where you're giving them parameters. Hey, we don't need input on how we're raising our child. We're dealing with the medical professionals. Hey, we can't be around this guy because he drinks and he is harmful to our children. Step by step, you get their buy-in.
But if they won't go through the gate, right, then this is where this other metaphor kind of comes into play, which is that you're opening the door, and if they want to, you know, if they don't want to climb through the front door, they want to keep climbing through your rear window, and you say, well, I'm not going to let you in the window, right? You have to come through the front door. You're giving them a way in. But if they stand in the backyard and keep screaming, you open the window because we're special and we need to climb through the window, that's on them, right? You're giving them a healthy way forward. If they choose not to come into your house, that's not your fault.
Yeah.
Right? So you saying to them, hey, guys, you know, I respect your opinion on this, but really, we're dealing with experts. We need this professional support, and you guys can either support us or you can not bring it up. Either way, which would you rather handle? Or we could just not be around as much because we're not going to deal with this. Then that's their choice, right? If they love their opinion more than they love you guys, they're going to stay in the backyard and keep yelling that you should open up the window. You don't have to give in to that crazy, okay? You just keep saying, the front door's open anytime you want to walk through it. And you're not cutting them off. You're giving them a healthy way forward, to use, you know, go back to Lisa's metaphor, right? And you're showing them how to come in if they wanted to. But if they choose not to do that, that's not on you. And then you don't have to feel guilty about that. As long as we're giving people, I don't believe in cutoffs where we just say, no, you can't do that. I believe in giving people boundaries where you say, this is what a healthy relationship would look like. This would be a healthy way to express your concerns. I'm not going to do this, but I will do that. And then you show them how they could, you know, have a better relationship with you. Then you leave it up to them whether they want to do that or not. In fact, this is exactly how God treats us. God says, look, I've opened the doors. I've opened the doors to heaven. I've done everything I possibly can. I've given my passion, death, and resurrection. It's all open. All you have to do is follow me. And then some of us choose to follow him and some of us don't. But that's on us. and following that model is to do the same thing, to give the people in our lives a healthy way forward and then let them choose how much they want to be in relationship with us.
And then, Becca, I'd also really evaluate with your husband, based on what your children need, what you need to stay sane, how can you see them? Not just the requirements you give them of, you know, respect our journey with our son and our medical professionals. Don't have brother-in-law around, especially when he's drinking. Those are the two big ones. But what works better for your child and you? Would it work better if you met somewhere where it would be brief? You know, a restaurant, a short meal, your son can have an activity or whatever it is he does, and you know you have an out when that check comes. Would it be better if you only met at their house so you could leave when things didn't go the way they're supposed to go according to what you've told them? Really, you know, sound out. That's only two examples. But really sound out with your husband. If we continue to see them with the boundaries we're setting, where's the best place? What's the best time? What's going to be optimal for us so we can be our best selves and our children can be their best selves?
All right. So, you know, the takeaway from this is we never want to alienate other people, but we don't want to stop them from alienating themselves. If they choose to not be in relationship with us when we've given them healthy ways to interact, then that's on them. Our responsibility is just to say, look, this is what it would take to make this work. And I would really love it if you would be willing to work with me on that. And if you choose not to, well, then we're going to still be over here. And anytime you want to, you can come. But if you want to keep doing what you're doing, you can go stand over there. That's on you, right? Becca, I hope that that framework kind of gives you some ways to deal more effectively with your parents-in-law and all the drama that they're creating there. I do hope that this helps frame the conversation and helps you feel a little less guilty about setting some of those boundaries. But I think you're right on with everything that you're suggesting and everything that you're saying is appropriate for your family, because you have really good sense here. I just want to endorse that. Thank you so much for the call. You know, we've been talking with you today about dealing with those angry, irritable, defensive, argumentative people. And as we kind of go into the final minute or so of the program, the big takeaway that I want to leave you all with is that when we're dealing with people who are angry and difficult and disrespectful and all the rest, our downfall is where we try to convince them to stop doing what they're doing or to see how they're wrong.
Yeah, and we're almost asking their permission for us to be right.
And the way that they win is by just simply refusing to be influenced, right? And then we get sucked into their drama and are playing the game on their terms.
Yep.
And we will always lose. What we need to do instead is make respect the price of admission, right? In other words, we're focused on ourselves and our reactions. And if somebody is approaching us respectfully, we're willing to hear whatever it is that they have to say. If somebody is approaching us disrespectfully, then we don't have to listen to anything they say. All we do is we say, hey, look, I see that you're upset, or I see that you're hurting, or I see that you're angry with me, or I see that you're whatever. I'd be happy to discuss that with you. Can we take it down a notch, or could we do it this way, or could we address it? Because I can't have a productive conversation with you like this. So can we take it down a couple of notches, or could we try to remember that we're not enemies, or, you know, you give some direction. And then it's up to them. If they want to approach you respectfully, then you are willing to hear whatever it is they have to say, no matter how difficult it is. If they're not, you are not obliged to listen to that. Not just to protect yourself, but to work for their good too. Because it's not working for someone's good to enable them to behave in abusive ways. So if they're approaching you in some obnoxious, irritating, difficult manner, it's okay to just say, hey, look, I really do want to hear whatever it is that you're trying to say to me, as long as we can talk about it like this. And then it's their call. and you don't have to play into the drama of convincing them that they're wrong or trying to convince them to stop or that they should behave differently. You're just holding that calm, firm line and being that sheepdog that guides people into the right place. That, if you are interested in looking for more personalized attention and support in dealing with those difficult people, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.